Hello. Thank you so much for coming in today and speaking with us. We are really delighted to talk to you about social housing in the communities you've been a part of. Perhaps you could give us your name and the social housing communities that you'd like to talk about today.
Okay, my name is Lynn Hooper and I'm 50. So from birth, I've lived in Finglas, Ballymun, Glover's Court near Stephen's Green, Sherrard Street, and in Wicklow, I've lived in Tinahealy, Bolton Glass, Knockanana. So they're on HAP. So yeah, a few places.
So maybe to start off with, you were born into what estate were you born into?
I was 2 months old when we moved from Crumlin to Finglas, and I was reared in Finglas for 20 years.
And do you want to, was that a social housing?
It was a new development. Finglas used to be just full of fields, you know, farming community kind of thing. Then they decided, Dublin Council decided to expand, so they needed all the new social housing. So where I was living was the beginning of all the new residents for council. So over the years it has developed and developed and developed, and even now it's still developing, and I would don't even recognise it if I went out there now. It's just madness. That's my fault. Sorry, go on.
No, okay. So you were there for the first 20 years, is that what you
said? Yeah, and then I moved into the Ballymun flats.
Okay. So when you were in the early 1990s, is that when you were in Ballymun then?
Yeah. So 98. No, was it 98? Yeah, because it was 74 when we moved with Finglas. 78, 90, yeah, no, 94. Now I'm getting old, my mind.
No, don't worry about that at all. But maybe let's go back to Finglas, and maybe could you talk to us about your childhood? What was it like to grow up in Finglas then?
Back in them days, you had a proper community. You could leave your doors open. I'm sure everybody's saying that. It was the whole area reared your children. You know, you could leave your kids out, and if something was happening, and the neighbour would come along and give out to you. You know, anybody was allowed to give out to anybody's kids. They also brought you out on trips as well. If they were going somewhere, they would bring you too, if you were close friends. You wouldn't just pal with people on your own street. You'd go into the other estates. But summertime in Finglas was great because we were beside the River Tolka. And yeah, we didn't care what was in the water. All the kids, we'd be jumping in. We'd be swimming, well, trying to swim. Some people try to drown you. We used to get the shopping crates from some of the supermarkets and make boats out of them and go around. There were some festivals, Finglas festivals, where music was put on all the time. I think they still do it now and again, but not as much as they did back then. It was good. It was safe.
Maybe then, could you describe us what your house looked like in Finglas?
We had, you would say, normal at the time. We had a gate and a little small front garden. And when you go in, there was the hallway. And to your right was the sitting room and the kitchen beside it. Then your bathroom, and upstairs, 3 bedrooms. And we had a big back garden.
And was it semi-D or terraced? Or?
It was in a state of, I don't know what, we lived on the corner house, but it was a line of,
terraced,
yeah,
yes. Kind.
Yeah, it was more like that, yeah. But in our back garden, when you turned the soil to get the grass growing and stuff, you'd get potatoes from the previous farmers owning the fields, and we had rhubarb. So we didn't have to go to shops to buy stuff. It was great, yeah.
And how many were in your family?
3 kids. My mum and dad separated when I was 6. I was the youngest. So it was just me, my brother, my sister, and my mum, really, there. So.
And what was it? I'm just trying to think, like, so you were there for 20 years.
Yeah.
You then moved to Ballymun. What brought you to Ballymun?
I had a child when I was 18. So I had an argument with my mum first. So then I said, right, moving out. And I actually went to, I went homeless. It was the only way I could kind of get a place. And it took a few months, but I did. I got a place out in Ballymun. And the guy that gave me the flat said to me, you have the best apartment or the best flat on the best landing in Ballymun, so look after it. So we were the only landing in the whole of Ballymun that had curtains on our windows outside in the hallways, and we bleached their floors and the stairs outside every day. Everybody took a tour and that, you know. So it was just me and my son there, and we made friends then with everybody there, you know. Again, another kind of community.
And maybe going back to Finglas, could you talk to us again, just to try and get a sense of growing up in the community? Is there a special day that you can, that really sticks out in your memory of something happening within the house, within the community that you were a part of, that's kind of one of your strong memories from that time?
Not necessarily a day, but every summer we had summer projects, and that was when the whole of Finglas, like there was different projects in different schools, in the different, because there was Finglas South, Finglas West, Finglas East, so we had our own. But every summer you'd go to your summer project and you'd learn all your crafts, all different things, you know, making things with your lollipop sticks and your pegs. We would have talent shows, we would have discos, day trips to Skerries in the cold where they throw you into the sea whether you like it or not, you know. We had, they used to bring us on day trips to go around like sort of the Coke factory. Like, it was always like that, but then they stopped after so long. But one year my brother was the coordinator, so after, in the late hours, all the coordinators and leaders used to go on midnight trips to the graveyards or things like that, so I got to go on them because he was coordinator. So that was good. But the summer projects were the thing for everybody, for all the kids in Finglas and other communities at that time as well. They all had them as well. And it just seems to have dwindled out a lot. So when I moved to Wicklow and my kids, and I learned there was nothing like that there, we started up the summer projects down there because I found a few others from Dublin down there as well. So we got together and we started the summer project down there in Wicklow. So it was good.
It's good. And was your mother working when she was raising you? Where did your mum work?
She worked in a couple of places. She was a machinist, sewing factories. So she actually worked in town at one stage, just off Thomas Street. But she became a machinist in Finglas in a factory called Hanro. And I ended up going there as well. And my sister was there for a while as well. So, yeah.
And how long were you there for?
A few years. Yeah. And then I moved on to another sewing factory in Inchicore. And then I worked in a coffee shop in Crumlin. Yeah, so I worked a lot of different places. But yeah, sewing is in the blood.
And were there any differences? So you moved from the house in Finglas into the flat in Ballymun. Was it a transition for you, or how did that feel, that kind of change?
I suppose it's when my mum and dad split up, I was six. So when I was fighting or angry with my mum, I'd go and stay with my dad and then go back to my mum's. So I had been going back and forth like that. So moving into my own place, I was kind of okay with it because I'd been moving back and forth with my mum and dad. But I've always told people, and I've told my kids everything, your home is you and your family. It's not a place. It's what you make it, and your community, your friends, whatever. So it doesn't matter where you are, you'll make a home, you know.
Maybe, Lynn, what makes a home?
Family, yeah. Family and friends. And it doesn't have to be blood relatives. I've made a lot of friends that I would call family now over the years, and we look out for each other. And that's what we're starting in this new place now as well. So
after Ballymun, how long were you in Ballymun for then?
3 years.
And then you moved to?
Then I moved to Wicklow.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, yeah.
And have you been in Wicklow since then?
No, I moved back in just before COVID. So I was down there for 20 years. Yeah, and I got pregnant and I had a baby down there. Yeah, so I had two children now.
And there's a bit of a gap.
There's 7 years between them, yeah. And you notice the difference between the two of them as well. And my daughter always goes, I've learned by my brother's mistakes. So, yeah. But you can see the difference. I would always say my son was street smart and my daughter is book smart. You know, and because where we were, we're in the countryside. It wasn't a city or a little town, you know, a big town or anything. That was...
And was that social housing?
That was a private house, but we got HAP through the council.
Maybe could you talk to us about what HAP is?
HAP is where you can rent a private accommodation through council, who will give you... to begin with, it used to be called rent allowance, rent supplement. But now it's more known as HAP. So they give you so much towards your accommodation and then you have to pay the rest of it. But it's good in the countryside and the outskirts of Dublin, but not on the in the inner city. You really, because the price of the rents in the inner city, a lot of people really need to be homeless to get the homeless HAP, which they give you nearly twice the amount of the normal one.
And would you be on HAP now? Is that...
No, I'm in Matua now as in a new housing development who it ultimately belongs to DCC, but Matua are running the building.
And this is, what estate is this? This is...
There's no name on the complex.
Okay.
It's just our building is called the Lock Keepers Building and we're up beside Guinness Storehouse near James's Hospital.
And could you talk to me, could you describe your place to me now? What does it look like now?
Heaven. It's a two-bedroom apartment for myself and my mother because I'm my mum's carer. I had to move in with her 2 years ago, but she was only in a one-bedroom apartment in Smock Alley in Shambles Street. So we got this under medical care because I have to be with her most of the time, you know, and look after her. But my mum was speechless when she went in to see it and we signed for it. It's so bright, large windows. From floor to ceiling, the insulation is great. You can barely hear anything going outside because we have a lot of seagulls around. But it really is a big space. Even the one bedroom apartments now are really big.
And what's it like being back with your mother again after so many years?
Me and my mum get on great with one another and we have a very dark sense of humour. So I keep saying I'm going to throw her over the balcony so I can have the two bedroom apartment to myself. Maybe don't put that in. But yeah, no... She's under palliative care, but she's doing great at the moment. And she basically lives in our bedroom, but she has her bedroom and she has an ensuite. And she has an armchair that she looks out the window every day and she watches our foxes. We have wild foxes living right beside us. And if she doesn't see them, she gets very upset. She's like, where are they? Are they okay? So we have to try and coax them out of their hiding. But she loves it. She loves it there.
And how long have you been there?
Only since December, so... what's that? January, February, March, May. Five months, yeah.
And before that, you were in...
Fishamble Street.
Okay.
In a one-bedroom. Very small.
With your mother?
With my mother.
Okay.
I was sleeping in the sitting room. She was in the bedroom, but she was doing the same thing. She was staying in our bedroom, but it was very, very compact, whereas with this new apartment now, I've no problem with her staying in the bedroom. And we have a balcony so she can go out now and now that the good weather starts. And I got a lovely little sofa for her. So she's going out onto the balcony. But we have a roof terrace as well, garden on the roof. So I'm hoping to get her up there as well. So it's something I never had before. I've had big gardens, but not a roof terrace.
God. And when, again, this is a festival of social housing and we're really trying to demonstrate the different lives that have lived. I mean... Again, if you were asked, what do you feel the impact or the importance of social housing in the Irish community is, what would it be to you?
Well, back a few years ago, you would say like it's to have your community to help people. But right now, it's just in a crisis arms about that as well. And I said, there's nothing like we can do about it, you know. You can scream and shout, but still in the end, they're going to do what they're going to do. So,
So are your children with you now? Or
no, my son's 32, my daughter's 24. God, no. She's 24 in Carlow, and my son's 32 in Wicklow. Yeah, and my grandson is down there as well.
In Wicklow, is he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you miss Wicklow?
Sometimes.
What do you miss from Wicklow?
Fresh air. That would be one. No, I love nature. I love the mountain. We used to live beside the mountains. So miss that and miss the forests. You know, like going for walks with the kids in safety. But I used to work down there in a secondhand shop as well, and I managed it, and people would come in just to have the chats. They wouldn't even buy things, they'd just come in to talk, you know, and you'd make them a cup of tea and stuff like that. So we had old ladies, young people, you know, and at one stage, I actually knew 5 people had cancer before their family did, because they felt comfortable coming in and just getting it off their chest, you know. So that tradition was kept up when I left. So they were still, you know, like treating the people and not trying to sell stuff, you know. So again, community, you know.
I know. I suppose it's, I know we say the importance of community. I suppose it's just really interesting to kind of say, well, what is it about community? What is, you know, when you're describing it there, it's again, what do you want? Like,
So I'll do it from our point of view. So we start moving in November, December into this new place. And it's now May, and we have a residence association. We have a little group that normally meet up on our roof terrace just for a cup of tea, chat away, anything. And we tell each other our stories, our backgrounds, our lives, and we help each other. So there's people with depression, there's people with anxiety. Myself, I've been through 2 relationships where I was beaten up. So, and then I was homeless, moved around. So you can relate to people like that. And if other people are on their own, and you know, like there is one chap living there, and he was very quiet when we met, and now he's with us all the time, and we went for dinner yesterday, a few of us, just, you know, Sunday Carvery, just said a few of us go out, and we did that, and he joined in, and he's now our treasurer of our committee now as well. So he's come out with his shell, you know. But there's a lot of people living on their own, and they don't know what to do or anything like that. But now they have you have people that they can talk to, and they can ask for help if they need it. You know, it's just someone that you can depend on, and it's a group.
So did you celebrate Christmas in your new place?
I did.
What was your Christmas like this year there?
It was great because I didn't have to travel to Wicklow to my children. They came to me. Yeah, we usually, we had been going to Wicklow for a few years, and my mum just wasn't up to it. So yeah, it was a new thing. So, but it was good. It was good I didn't have to travel, but I did cook for the first time in years for Christmas. but my mum enjoyed it, that she didn't have to. If she didn't have to get dressed, if she didn't want to, but she did get dressed. But yeah, it was nice, you know.
I suppose, again, it is, what is the impact or the importance of having social housing within the community? And what would you express that importance is? I know you've said a lot already about it, but it's just to get that idea across.
Well, it is important because, like, there's lots out there that are, say, on disability or are sick or they're on welfare. And it's the only way they're going to get anywhere. I know, like, HAP is good as well, you know. But as I said, the rates for inner city Dublin is horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. The rates of rent itself. But then again, if I hadn't been homeless, HAP, I wouldn't have been able to get an apartment or a flat or a house, whatever, in city centre. And that's what I needed to do. And so I had to go homeless. And then COVID hit, and then, yeah, a few things happened. But the only way I could get a place was through homeless. Yeah.
Where were you during COVID? Were you down in?
I was back and I was looking for a place, and then COVID hit. So I stayed with my mum, And the council tried to tell me that I wasn't homeless because I was staying with my mum. And I was saying, I'm staying with my mum because I'm her carer. And I am not going into emergency accommodation to catch COVID or anything else that's going. I'm bringing it back to my mum. So Chris Andrews from Sinn Féin, he got in touch with him. And 7 hours later, it was, yeah, you're homeless, Hap. And I was like, that's fine, thank you. Because I wasn't chancing my mum's health, you know, staying there. Madness.
Yeah, and what is it like to work with TUA as the kind of housing organization?
I've only dealing with them since December, but yeah, they've been great. The problems that we're having in our apartments at the moment is our actually management company, not TUA. TUA are frustrated with them as well because they're not getting answers from the management team either. So that's what we're fighting at the moment. We're fighting the management team, but TUA have been brilliant.
And TUA, I mean, they concentrate on housing. That is what they do. So it is, yes.
Yeah. Well, they've approached us like Wednesday. We have a workshop with one of the girls in the air building to do sustainability and climate change education, stuff like that, because we want to try and start allotments on our roof. Because we on the roof terrace, we're supposed to have a landscaper and they haven't done anything. And everything is overgrown and we have weeds and wildflowers and everything. So we've asked, can we take over the roof and we will look after it, we will manage it, we will keep it clean. So she's coming on Wednesday to talk to us about what we can do with our rooftop. But we're still waiting for the management team to tell us whether we're allowed to take over the roof or not. And we've asked this since February and they haven't answered us. We also have a bike storage in the basement that nobody uses because we have to access that through air building and go down into a lift and do that, whereas there's a car park there with an entrance, but we're not allowed to use it. So we're finding that very annoying. But we want to see if we can change the bike storage into an upcycling centre where we can bring out furniture and stuff like that into, and you know, maybe make a few bob for the building and we put it back into it, you know. But these are all things that we've put to them in February and March and we're still waiting for answers.
Those are two fantastic. Are there any other workshops that you're thinking about or?
But this is what TUA are providing us with, any workshops that we want to do. So they're doing in education or like that, craft and events. They run events as well. So seeing as we have our new resident association, we're going to do our events, but they are still there to help us. So they said they'd be there for all of it for the first year and then keep calling on. We can keep calling on them if we need help for doing extra things. So no matter what we want to do. So we have ideas to do classes and clubs of games clubs and walking club, knitting club, crochet, whatever, you know, like so. And we have a fabulous baker in the building. So we were trying to do baking classes and cooking classes for people that don't know how to boil an egg, you know, she'd be able to do that, you know. But we need a room and they won't give us a room to use. Whereas the private apartments have rooms. Now they pay for them in the rent, but they have a private games room. They have a 2 floors of a social amenities rooms. They have a business center and they have a gym and we're not allowed to use them. Only the private people can use
them. So do you
think,
is there a bit of tension there between?
There's a lot of tension because of it, yeah. We have offered to pay to use these rooms and they're still saying no. So there is space in our building, but they said that they're keeping it for a medical unit and then there's another room. There's no tag on it yet, as far as we know. So we're trying to find out if we can take that as our community room. And we'd be able to do everything in that room. But the thing about it is, we're inviting everybody in the whole complex to join the Residents Association. And we have got some of them from the private into it. And we are told, if we got people from the private apartments into the association, we will be allowed to use one or two of the rooms. They still won't let us use the rooms. So they're going back on their word.
What's it been like having the kind of integration of the private and public partnerships coming together for the
When we're outside in the complex, everybody talks, and like the private doesn't realise that we're not allowed to use their rooms and stuff, you know. So they're going like, that is absolute, and yeah, but don't tell us, tell them, you know, like tell them you don't have a problem with us using your rooms. We're offering to pay. Like the gym, a lot of the lads in the building want to use the gym, and they've offered to do like a year membership. They've no problem paying for it, but they're just saying no. You know, and it's not fair.
So some of these things need to be worked out a lot more, yeah. Don't they?
Yeah.
Because I can see there'd be a lot more public and private partnerships happening.
But that it is a lot of us and them. Mm-hmm. But it's not the tenants. It's the management, you know, like that are causing it. And it's just going to get worse if they don't, you know, like work with us to work with them. Because they're coming to us at this in the association saying they want certain things as well. And it's the same things we want. They want to be able to, we want to be able to put, we have a performer, an entertainer in our group, and he's in his 60s. But he wants to sing on the roof, and we'd have a little community day. But the private people want this as well. So they're asking, can they have them on the roof? So we're asking for them to be allowed to, you know, have use of different things like we are. And they can't even get an answer for that either. You know, so it's just madness. But Tua, we're trying to work with Tua now to try and get it all sorted out, and fingers crossed.
That's great. I'm just trying to think, when I'm speaking to you here, are there any memories that are kind of coming back to you, or any kind of thoughts that you'd like to share?
For?
Anything.
Anything. The only thing I'll say about, I keep saying about community. So right now in our building, we have dubs, country folk. We have Somalians. We have French, Greek, Romanian, Romas. We have a mix, but we're still making it a community. And that's what I was trying to say. Like, people aren't racist, but the situation is making people into that way. And some people in the area, like not in their complex, people that have been living there before the apartments were built, they're kind of getting, you know, like, oh, those are getting them. I'm going, yeah, but they have been out here. Like, so like one of the girls, she's half Greek, half Romanian, but she's lived here for 26 years, yeah. You know.
I wanted to say that, yes, but again, I know.
Somebody will be saying, you know, like, how'd she get, because she's been here 26 years. That's how she's got a place. So you can't be racist about it, you know. So we're kind of educating some of them in the area as well of, you know, like, you can't have a go at everybody, you know. So, but that's what we're saying. That's what community is. You're involving everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, race, creed, you know, sexuality, whatever, anything.
And it must feel really comforting that your mother is comfortable.
Yeah.
She's in a good place.
Yeah, she's safe.
You're able to care for her there.
Yeah.
Not have to, again, and not having the HAP thing, so you're not worried about rent increases.
Yeah.
That won't be covered. Because
that, well, that's another thing, like with Tua, if anything happens to you or you're out of work, you ring them and they will work out a compromise with you as well. You know, like, so you're paying your rent and your bills. So it is affordable and they will help you. It's because we were just talking yesterday about the possibility of when we get everything up and running that we might do a small food bank for the people in the building or the complex, you know, so we might be able to do something like that, you know, so in case anybody falls on hard times or gets sick and can't work. And so we want to look after each other as best we can in our old age.
So you've lived in Finglas, Ballymun, Wicklow,
City Centre, yeah,
Fishamble Street. Mm-hmm. Now you're up next to Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your favorite place you've lived?
Wicklow.
And why is that?
I loved my house. I had a big huge house. I had there was a house in Rathdangan. And we had like a football pitch for a front garden. I had a little bit of a back garden and a side garden. I had an orchard. So we had apple trees, but we had blackberry bushes and we start growing vegetables and as well. And I had ducks. I loved my ducks. I had 4 ducks. I used to go out and talk to them every day and take their eggs. But yeah, I loved it out there, and the freedom for the kids. It was great. And we were near a river as well, and we'd go walking. Walk up a mountain, walk through a forest.
And that's where do you feel like you really raised your kids in Wicklow?
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't come back to Dublin with me. They stayed there. Yeah. Not a hope.
And do you feel like a lot of what you had in Wicklow, you've brought back to Dublin with you now?
As in...
I don't know.
What I learned?
Yes,
or,
yes.
Yeah, well, I've always had that thing about community. I love having... Since, I would say, I left school, I've never really had best friends, if you want. You know, like somebody around me constantly that I like my own time. I like my own peace. But I have loads of friends that I can call on, you know, anytime. And that's what I like. You know, I like that. Because that was the thing when we were living in Wicklow. You literally had to drive to your best friend. You couldn't just walk out the gate with another gate and knock on the door. But yeah, no, I had good friends down there. But I had good quiet times by myself as well. And that's what I do here as well. I make sure everybody has their own time, you know, that you're not constantly knocking on someone's door or asking for things or asking them to do things. So it's, people keep coming to me and I go, ask someone else. You know, like, I can't do this, but I know who can. And I'm getting, like, the quiet guy I was talking about earlier on, he plays guitar and people didn't know. And there was a guy that wanted to learn guitar. He has a guitar, but he wants to learn it. So I put the two of them together. You know, so now they're doing their own little thing. And there's other people looking for things and going, well, so and so can do that. So you used to go and you used to do that. You don't need me. Just, and they've all started outreaching to each other. And that's the thing that you need, you know. Like, I am not, like, the world doesn't revolve around me. I need my quiet time.
I mean, yes, maybe just kind of, if you could finish off with this, Mike, saying, what would you want to speak to the participants at this festival / conference? What would you want them to hear you say about social housing?
To wrap it in a bundle, okay. Social housing needs to be accessible for everybody. Like you said, in Dublin City Centre, rent's too high. If it's going to stay that high, then HAP, any other social help, needs to rise to that. And then the transparency. If we are putting in for places and we're fifth on the list and people are getting places before us that we know don't really or shouldn't really get it, if you want, we need to know how many lists there is for DEFNA. You know, it's only fair. But the more people understand and see what's going on, the better understanding there is and less riots going on. Yeah, we have it at the moment down the road from us as well. There's supposed to be an iPass centre opening up and people don't want it. It's beside 3 schools and we don't know who's coming into it, you know. And that's actually going on right now as I'm sitting here. So, yeah, it's a lot, you know.
Any other thoughts of wisdom you'd like to give us, Lynn?
I'm not that wise. No, just, it's like people in my building have been going, I can hear this noise, I can hear this noise. I'm going to find out what it is, because once you know what it is, you'll hear it differently. Well, that's the same with transparency. If you see what's happening, you know what's happening. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Lynn. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.